Great day, amazing human. Yes, welcome to Empowered Up My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans empower humans. So you are in the right place to become a lead domino for empowerment today. My name is Nkechi Mwafa Robinson. I'm not only your host, but I am a vibrant optimist obsessed to bring you empowering content with every single episode. We will bring you weekly content alternating between longer episodes with featured guests and a shorter episode called Empowering Bites, where I will be joined by my co-host, Gabby Memone. So if you're ready, let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes! To all the YouTubers, I know you can already see my amazing guest. To anyone that's listening, get ready. Our guest today is a globally celebrated media and communications leader whose work spans continents and industries with over two decades of experience in storytelling, strategic communications, and advocacy. She's a powerful voice for women's empowerment, entrepreneurship, and inclusive development. From hosting award-winning television shows to shaping global conversations on leadership and innovation, she's redefining what it means to use media for impact. And anywhere where her presence is, let me just tell you how powerful it is that it transcends to the people that are in the room in a way that is so unique. And I think I'm going to say personal, which I think is such a power to how God moves through her. Anyway, so really, really excited. We are going to talk about how she's found courage to redefine success on her own terms. Like, this is a woman who really walks this planet on her own terms. And so please give it up. Give a gigantic podcast welcome to the amazing Anita Erskine.
We'll hype ourselves up, okay?
Oh, we always need a hype girl. We always need a hype human around us.
I am telling you. Thank you.
So excited to share that you are in Ghana and I'm on the East Coast, right? So you are 4 hours ahead of me. So how's today been? No, just kidding.
Today has been a blessing. You know, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, any day for me at all is every day is a blessing. Any time of the day is a blessing. As long as I'm alive, I'm well, I can do something that I love. I can spend time with someone that I love, then you know what? Then it's a blessing.
It's a blessing, isn't it? I woke up this morning so excited, and I'm not even disappointed yet. Like, today's always a great day. Today is always a great day. So as a first question, what has been your most empowering, after all of that, what's been your most empowering thought of the day you've had so far?
Know that when you are on your way towards or up, in whatever your ambition may be, or on your way towards a part of a journey that excites you, that the universe and the world has a way of testing to see if you're really ready for this greatness. With little tiny things you may see or hear or taste or smell, they can distract you in a way that almost makes you wonder if you are doing the right thing, you are the right person, you are at the right place. But because of grounding, because of faith, because of this thing we call the power of the Holy Spirit, you are then also immediately reminded that, yes, you have been chosen for this, never doubt yourself. And if you have to pause and say a quick prayer to kind of like bring the forces back together to face whatever it is in front of you, then do so. That's something that happened, you know, very early to me this morning. And I have to say, God, this is why knowing you, being your daughter, being in communion with you is my ultimate superpower.
Okay, so I'm going to just stick there for a second, because I believe what you just described, like, I would say that, I always say your results are in your routines, right? So there's something that is so important every single day to sort of continue to get yourself ready for the day. Like, I think that the best amongst us, and I'm going to talk about what I believe is like so unique about your presence, but the best amongst us have these great routines that set us up for what you just described. How do you, or what can you suggest to those that are listening who teeter behind what I'm going to say you just described as the power of the Holy Spirit? So I do believe that when you are in spirit, when you are moving through this world, you move like no other human on the planet when you just stay in spirit versus the natural, right? Like getting caught up in the whole conformity of the world. So what are the tools that you use in the tactics to have more of these empowering moments and thoughts that you've had to today, which I think is extremely a powerful way to live your day?
I think I start off with acknowledging how impossible it is for me to realize whatever it is I want to realize on my own. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so human that little things get to me. I'm so human that I'm disappointed by rejection. I'm so human that when I fall, I cry because I've bruised myself. But when I forge an alliance with my God, mm-hmm. whom I believe wrote my name in this great book and under my name wrote all the bullet points of the great places I would go and the person I would become, mm-hmm. when I acknowledge that, listen, I have this armor, I have this companionship, I have this union. When I fall, I will still say, ouch, but I will say, that must have been for a reason, and I will clean it up, and I will learn from what made me fall, mm-hmm. And prepare not to fall the way I fell again. When I come across something that, you know, kind of like rubs me off the wrong way, I will take 30 seconds to go back and think, okay, why could I possibly have come into this space or into this moment or into this, you know, experience? Is it something that I did? Is it a choice that I made? And then there's always that prayer that says, Father God, I cannot change the past, but I can definitely whatever has just happened to prepare me for the future. There must be something in the future that you want to prepare me for. So honestly, it's this knowing that if I were to just pursue this journey on my own, oh, sister, tears would be tears and bruises will be bruises. And I've done that before. I've done the human thing of thinking that I'm strong and powerful on my own and so I can conquer. And then I've fallen flat. Mm-hmm. And I've asked, why am I flat? And God has said, well, because you are not designed to struggle the way you are making yourself struggle.
That's right.
I never designed you to be on your own. Right. So get up and know that with me, you can conquer anything.
Yeah.
And you can go anywhere.
I love so that you said that. Yeah.
I've got you.
Uh-huh. You know, I love that you said it because I truly do believe when you go with God, it's free. Mm. I think it's free. Alignment is free. When you choose not to, you pay a price. Mm. Massive price.
Wow. We can start a church.
So. I wasn't meant to preach, but you're like, this is coming from
but
you.
It's true.
Like,
yes. You know,
it costs and nothing.
Yeah. You know, there was something so beautiful you said about, you know, making my own rules or, you know, doing things on my own terms. You know, I'm able to do this because it's like, surely before I was conceived, you had a story written for me. Yes. Surely. Yeah. You know what I mean? And surely if I were to try to design this destiny blueprint on my own, I would make horrible mistakes. Yeah. I wouldn't get the mathematics right.
Yes.
Surely, God, you have to be in control, good or bad times, high or low times, you have to be in control.
Yes.
Because on my own, I'm totally powerless.
Yeah.
Completely powerless.
Yeah. So you are a master storyteller. And what I was saying in the B-roll, y'all, is I was talking to a couple of people about, they were like, why'd you get your makeup done? I'm like, you're not supposed to know I did my makeup. Like, that's a... no, I was like, well, look, that's the one thing I'm able to do today. I said, because I'm about to meet with this. And I don't even know really, you are a true force. And I mean that in most respectful ways, right? Like, I think we're all unique and we all hold a DNA that nobody else in this world. What I really love about you is that you fully understand that. And so my next question is really around, I have to just say, like, I think what attracted to me right away was your presence. And so what's the story that you try to convey through your fashion, through your fashion, like, is that you're like from your nails to your hair, to your clothing, like it is telling a story. What is it intentional?
Wow. I think it's as simple as I love who I am, mm-hmm. because I am weak and then I can be strong. And then I can be invincible. Then I can be invisible. Then I can be all the things that I claim I have been. And I don't claim to know everything, but I claim to know enough about myself mm-hmm. to know how I want the other person in the room with me to feel when I'm in that room. Mm-hmm. And if it's being colorful on that particular day because I want to bring color into the space, then so be it. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, expressing myself through my nails, then so be it. But ultimately, I exist to tell the story of individuality. One. Two, I exist to tell the story of this proud African that I am, this continent that I'm continuously learning about that always blows my mind, mm-hmm. you know, the beauty of what we have, the beauty of what we don't have, the beauty of how far behind we have been, and the beauty of the force of the collective of people who are just trying to push the continent forward. Mm-hmm. It's all translated in this thing that we call presence. So my presence is to get you to ask me one very important question, and that is, who are you and where are you from?
Hey,
and then I know the door is open. Here comes the story.
That is,
but if I walked into a room and I blended in, and you know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, would you bother to?
Oh, girl,
but I need you. It's almost like, yes, I don't need permission from you or anyone to be who I am, but I do and would like permission to just seep into your mind so you remember who I am or you remember what I represent. And that's the story behind making sure that my appearance speaks to a story untold that is waiting to be told. Mm. And then, you know, my spirit is shareable. I can share the spirit, but I can only share the spirit by walking up to you and saying, oh, hello. I'm Anita, and I want to tell you about myself. Yeah. So I ask and knock on that door with how I present myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. So that we ask.
You have to
tell
ask.
Us, where are you from? That is like
who are you and where are you from?
Anyway,
and
thank you, everybody, for joining us on this podcast. And that was and that concludes your empowerment for today. Like, that's all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need.
That's not all you're going to get right now. So backstory a little, we met at Jitex. And by the way, Jitex has been sort of the experience that keeps giving. I actually had the pleasure of interviewing Augustine Wea. His episode goes live on, he's phenomenal. Like I met him in the 10X stage. But I just want to share with the audience how generous you are. So day one. I'm sitting in the audience at the 10X stage. The Firehood, it was the delegation that I went down with, and we were holding court on with a couple of panel interviews and whatnot. And this woman, Anita, was hosting that stage, and you had on this. It was more than that because of your presence, but you had this beautiful outfit that I was just like, I have to know where she got that outfit. Kind of like. Ask me.
You see? Yeah. Billboard. Ask me so I can tell you.
But the most mind-blowing thing happened. All I said was, I want to know who's the designer. Where can I purchase it? Where can I get it? And your generosity has transcended in ways that I actually don't even know how to say I'm so grateful. Other than like wear that outfit with pride and know who it came from and support that person to the nth degree, as much as I can for the rest of my life. Like, I don't know how else to show my gratitude. But that outfit is now in my closet because this woman so generously just said, and you know what? You conned me, man, because had I known that was where it was going, there's no way I would have just openly walked myself up into it's free. But I had to learn my manners as well, because I do believe when somebody wants to gift you with something, you have to. My girlfriend said you need to just give her your sizes, like, because you wanted. Anyway, we had this wonderful WhatsApp exchange, and not only did she never actually told me where she got it. She says, I'm getting it for you. What's your address and what are your sizes? And I was like, what's going on right now? And not only did I get one outfit, but I got two. And anyway, just I wear them with pride. I've worn them to really established places. The other day, I knew that I had to do it justice. And I share that because I think you have given permission through that experience. And I recognize probably you've done it multiple times over. you give permission to others to take a chance to express themselves the way that you do. I'm just letting you know, right?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And isn't this our time? I mean, let's speak selfishly about being bold, Black, ambitious, African women with a global perspective, not waiting for anyone to say, go left, go right, but go left. We are going left, we're going right. But I believe there is something about, you know, this whole story you've told about the outfit for me is a representation of how we have to move. I cannot go by myself. I don't even want to go by myself, Nkechi. I don't want to be in that room by myself. Do you know how it feels for like-minded women to just spot each other from across the room and laugh at jokes that only apply to us? Yes, yes. Or comment about a jollof that only applies to us.
We're not going to talk about jollof on this.
No, let's not even, because we're going to lose anyway. No, but aren't we tired of not even having the courage to ask, hey, sister, what product do you use? Oh, hey, you know, I love that fireside chat. Could you share your notes? Because when I say this is our time, I mean, you have something I need. I have something you need. And that's what movement is all about. Yeah, we're talking about fashion. And it may seem like, yeah, it's just fashion, but it's not just fashion. It's about how I want my sister to show up at her next big opportunity or her next big gig, because I know how she'll walk and I know how she will feel. And this desperation, call it desperation, I don't care. This desire and this desperation to have many more of us feel this ounce of pride wherever we are. And this ability not to feel like we are alone, because we've been alone for too long. We've been the only ones in a certain position in corporate. We've been the only ones in a certain position in whatever it is. Enough is enough. Yeah. So if that alliance means we're going to forge an alliance through fashion, so let us forge an alliance through fashion. Yes. If the alliance means we're going to forge a collaboration through like-minded businesses, let us do that. Yeah. We don't have 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. We have a window. And so that's my backstory. And that's why I needed to send you those outfits, because I just wanted to show you that, Nkechi, you are not by yourself. You may be on the other side of the world, and I may be on the other side of the world, much like many of our sisters or brothers, but we are together.
Yeah, we're connected.
We are together.
Yeah. 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 And the truth is that story, I tell it more so to what you just expressed. It created the connection. And it's from that connection that way more value is derived from, right? So that is just it. It's the derivative of that connection. So you have a voice, even just in the, I don't know, how long's it been, in the 20 minutes that we've been talking, like the range of the range of your voice. And I would love if you could take us back to, and I'm going to say a younger Anita, because I think there is something so profound when a child really does recognize that she has a voice. I'm going to say a girl child, right? That she has a voice and that it matters. And where did that happen for you in sort of your life journey?
So I think knowing that I could sing to an audience at the age of 9. Okay. Now, when you're 9, you're singing because maybe mommy says sing, daddy says sing, or maybe you're singing as part of the church choir. You are singing, right? You don't know that you are expressing something. You don't know that the music that's coming out of your mouth is changing how somebody feels, or is making someone feel reassured. You know what I mean? You just know that you're singing. And at the end of it, you just know that, oh, everyone's clapping. So you know you've done something good. I was blessed, and I've always been blessed with being around older people. So starting with my parents, you know, last of 8. So naturally growing up with elderly parents, and that depth of wisdom that always came down. Listen, I wasn't always the best child. I mean, I've been naughty before. You know what I mean? But even in my naughtiness or in my being this child who just wouldn't get the right grades in school, What your parents say to you and how it seeps down at that age can either make you or break you. With me, it made me because my parents would always say, you know, you are better than this. You know what I mean? You are better than this. And I remember my father, of blessed memory, he always used to end with his what we call in Ghana, his blasting with, you are better than this. You know what I mean? So as a child, when you perform in front of an audience and you're singing, you do believe that you are good. And with every opportunity, you believe you are better than what you were yesterday. That then evolved into, you know, becoming an adult. But I guess maybe understanding the range of my voice was only when I lived in Canada, where that range became, you are at the back of the room. Literally and figuratively, how do you get the person at the front of the room who otherwise wouldn't recognize you to stop and listen? And it's where I started to convert and mold and force my singing voice to evolve into a speaking voice, where a story should be told, but it should be told across the sea of thousands of people with or amongst whom you are a nobody, mind you. As an African student, international student coming into a country like Canada, it's people, it's movements, it's things. Who are you? Where are you? You know, so it feels a little long-winded, but I'm telling you that it's where, you know, in the confusion of who am I? Mm-hmm. And also in the beauty of discovering that, wow, Africa is actually so many cultures and so many people. And all of us being in this new country, leaving our families back at home, being by ourselves, for me, then I started to say, okay, Anita, how do you use your voice? How do you use your voice? How do you use your voice? So that singing voice, which I knew I had and I've always had, then eventually started to become the storytelling voice, because I realized that the more I boldly and courageously told my story in rooms where there were so many people who didn't look like me, the more I paid attention. And then the more I told stories that helped me to express not only who I am, how I feel and my mentality, the more people started to trust whatever it is that I was saying. So that's the migration from the singing voice to the storytelling voice.
Wow. And it's powerful. I haven't heard you sing. I want to now. So are you going to bust into song right now?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily give. I surrender all. I surrender all to you, my blessed Savior. I surrender
all. Oh my God. Who are you?
God's child, baby girl. God's child.
Oh.
That's who I am. Amen.
We just have to hold space for that. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I love how God's work feels through you. Because it's a feeling. I don't know. Hey, y'all, I don't know this. I honestly don't know you. Like, I met you on a profound experience, like going to Morocco doing Jitex was the first of a kind for me as an angel investor. So just that whole experience felt spiritual. And then this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Journeys.
And it's not done yet. Trust me. Oh my gosh. And so there was something I wanted to double click. Wow. That was beautiful. Okay. So moving us forward, as the host of this podcast, let me catch my...
I love it.
So because you talked about the ability to back of the room, how do you move a message through thousands and massive amount and different... I thought it might be good because you do have experience. I was looking here in our notes. So you have probably, my team says you've moderated over about 700 global events. Is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
True.
That's a lot. That's a lot. True. That's a lot of traveling. That's a lot. That's a lot. And I can't even imagine the amount of people that you've connected with. But so how do you tailor your communication style? Because to your point, not every room is created equal. Not the playing field is not flat. There's different. And I could, for 700, I mean, Morocco was a little bit of a culture shock for me because I've never been in a Muslim country like that. So how do you navigate that? How'd you learn that? And what tips can you give to us?
I think the first thing with what I do and how I do what I do is appreciating the diversity of cultures. Mm-hmm. What that means is every single word, language, phrase, even how you introduce people must be culturally aligned. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can never assume that the Ghanaian audience is the same as even the Nigerian audience or even the South African audience or the Egyptian audience. So preparation for me is absolutely key. Listen, I love to have a good conversation. And in that conversation, I am so curious. I ask every single question I can think of. A lot of the time people think, well, if I ask too many questions, they might think I don't know what I'm about. But I honestly say, listen, this is going to be the first time for me, either in this space or on this kind of platform. And I know that I can do the opportunity justice, but I would love your guidance on how to navigate this room. And, you know, I love to read. And I always say that, Nkechi, you cannot be a great communicator if you don't like to read. You must read even better, you must listen. Mm-hmm. The best communicators are the ones who listen and pay attention to the nuances. Even as, let's just say, as an African audience, your African audience is even extremely diverse. Protocols are very diverse. So how I would host a high-level presidential event in Ghana is very different from how I will host a high-level presidential event in Rwanda. So you have to understand what are the differences, what are the cultures, what are the do's and don'ts, and not stick to how you do things and kind of waltz into a room saying, by the way, I'm Anita Erskine and this is how I do it. And it also comes to the element of respect. Respect your audience. Mm-hmm. Respect your audience's time. Respect your audience's intelligence. Respect your audience's expectations. Mm-hmm. And never assume that someone knows who you are, so by all means, they should accept whatever it is that comes out of your mouth. Always respect every room that you walk into. And maybe lastly, be open. You said something so poignant, and I believe in Morocco you said the same thing. This is the first time for you. And when you walked into that country, even at the airport, you would have felt the difference. You would have felt, okay, this is very, very different. The difference between an Nkechi who would have enjoyed that difference and an Nkechi who would have said, oh my goodness, so weird, is the openness. And as a key leadership communicator, you have to be open because you really never know what's going to be waiting for you. So be open-minded and be broad-spirited. That's what I like to call it. Be broad-spirited. Learn, listen, understand. You don't always have to accept, but you always have to respect perspective. Ooh. You have to accept it, but you always have to respect perspectives because that's then what nurtures your wisdom wherever you go.
That's powerful. That is powerful. And the other thing that I think was powerful is I think something that we often get wrong, the normal of us, I'm going to say, is just as making the assumption that just because they look like me means that my natural style is going to be okay. I think that studying, that education, that listening, irrespective of whether the room looks like you, is still really important work to do.
That's crucial.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's really big. Wow. Okay. Gosh, this is such a masterclass. Like, I feel like I'm more so trying to pick up like your wisdom. So what, like, that was a fast forward. Like, you just gave people, like, when they listen to this, like, you should, like, I've done this, I'm doing it, I'm successful, I've run 700 global events. Like, here's the tricks of the trade. Failure. What's a big lesson that you learned the hard way as it relates to communication?
If you don't fail like a winner, you will never succeed.
Oh,
I'm going to say,
yeah, you need to explain.
If you don't fail like a winner, you will never succeed. That means when you fail, accept why you failed. Okay. Because it'll prepare you for the next opportunity.
I get that. I like the way you framed it.
Own why you failed. Don't blame your failure on what someone didn't give you. Mm-hmm. Why did that person not give to you? Because you didn't prepare to take or to ask or to demand what that person should have given to you. If you don't accept that failure, you are not winning. And ultimately, it's in accepting that failure that then allows you to pursue and to push forward towards what will make you successful. Mm. So if you don't fail like a winner, you will never succeed. And Ingeji, it cuts across. The thing about communication is when you know, in what I do, maybe communication is really broad. So let me just kind of like focus on what I do. In what I do, as an example, I'm just coming from Geneva, just finished a high-level UN event, and I am feeling so good about my success over there, right? Now, the thing about why I was successful is because previously, when I have hosted one or two UN events, I've thought, oh, the same joke that kind of got the room cracking in, I don't know, in Egypt should get the same room cracking here. And when it hasn't worked, I've stopped and said, okay, why didn't that joke work? Or why didn't how I introduced this person with this particular title, why didn't it work? Failing then and accepting why that didn't work and coming back and doing the homework is what that prepared me for the success that I am, you know, I've just enjoyed.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so as a communication person, or as actually not just a communication person, as anyone who wants to own, you want to own your narrative, you want to own your path, you want to own your journey. When you fail, accept why you failed. Yeah. Even if you failed because someone didn't do what they were supposed to do, go back and figure out how you weren't able to foresee that someone who wasn't doing what they were supposed to do would lead you to fall or would fail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't be in control of everything I accept, but at least you can be in control of how you accept your failure.
Yes. And you know, I feel like it's interesting because in my one of the things I've done in my life is I was a professional bodybuilder, and commonly when you win a bodybuilding show, the best amongst us would still go to the judges to ask for feedback. Right. Because even though you won doesn't mean that you're perfect. Yeah,
exactly.
And yeah. But what I love about what you said is I think on the failure side and how sort of it resonated with me, like what I've kind of interpreted from it is like failure, like owning failure like a winner. The proof points is the win. Right. Like there are some proof points to take from it that will continue to bet. That is the win. Oftentimes, if you have won, you miss on the proof points because you think you've won and you go on to the next event and then you try to do the same thing.
Yes. And you know,
it's an epic fail.
You are so, wow. You've just masterclassed me right now because it occurred to me that what made you win yesterday does not guarantee your win for tomorrow. Because what made you win yesterday is a set of standards that may not be adequate for tomorrow's competition, by the way. So even if you don't go back and say, listen, I know I did this and I know I won and I really would love a few more pointers, it doesn't elevate you. It standardizes you or it stagnates you. You know, girl, you are so smart.
This is true. Yes. This is actually it's actually very true.
That is true.
I work on my intelligence every day. You know,
I love it.
I'm getting ready.
No AI here. Just pure African intelligence. No AI here. No artificial intelligence. Oh my goodness, girl, you got that one.
And it's so, the reason why I actually focus on my mind a lot is because I recognize the best amongst us. It is the one thing that we our bodies are naturally changing. I can't remember how much it is, but like in 4 to 6 months, all of our skin cells have been regenerated. I think it is, isn't it? The lining of our stomachs, or is our lining of our stomachs in 4 to 6 months and our skin over the course of like a period of like a month or whatever. But essentially who I am like physically is not the same. Like who I am in 2025 is not the same person in 2024. I'm a completely redone human being, right? From cells perspective, but it's the mindset.
But isn't it, it is, even with the mindset, isn't
it's
it
the why- thing that doesn't change. I was going to say the mindset is the thing if we don't-
The mindset, but isn't that the problem though? Because when we don't change our mindset, the way our cells regenerate or the way, you know, our hair follicles regenerate, we get stuck in an era.
That's the thing.
And when evolution happens, we think that God is being unkind to us because, you know, we're changing and things are changing and people aren't speaking to us the way they but there's a blessing in it, right? Mm-hmm. And the blessing is if you only knew that you were also evolving and if you only were able to use this time to learn more about yourself and elevate yourself, evolution would be the most beautiful thing to ever happen to you.
100%. 100%. And so, and then just to the point I was just trying to make is like, follow that anatomy and align your mind with that as well. Like, how has your mind evolved this past month? How is it evolving the last 4 to 6 weeks? How is it? So that the whole continuous, like you talked about, to communicate well, you have to read, you have to listen. Like, you know, that's what's going to continue to keep it all evolving. Like, So there is I have given up the imposter syndrome like years ago. There's a movement that I always try to say with any woman, there's nothing imposter about you. In fact, I try not to sit on panels where that's going to be a question. I'm like, we can reframe it. We could talk about crisis of confidence, which is a new frame of it. But there's a story you told that even I think I would have not been able to, I would not have handled it the way you handled it. Mm. And I want you to take us through, like, I know you said you took them. So anyway, the story, I think, dates back to April 2023, where there was a panel that you wanted to moderate. It was a high-level panel. Mm-hmm. And you had put through the request. And I think there was a little bit of a snafu that had you in the email, which I've been in, by the way, before. You're in the CC of an email that's not intended to go to you. And so can you will tell the story way better than me. And I just marvel at how you handled it. And I think it had to happen.
Well, it had to happen. And the story is I had applied to moderate a high level event, really excited about it, put my bio together, my reel, everything. And I thought, you know what? I am power. Applied. And the lady who had responded, she had been so gracious, you know, said, you know what? I'm just going to put you in touch with, you know, our production team, you know, the people responsible. Thank you so much. Then there was who I, you know, discovered later on was the program director. Replies all, not realizing that who cares? Realizing that I'm in copy and basically said, we need bigger names than this. We want to have people who are backed by big time networks. This is too important to have an amateur hosting it. So the lady who then sidebars me on WhatsApp is apologetic. I'm so sorry. Didn't realize, you know, I apologize. To which I then said, it's not a problem. But if that opportunity is still open, I'll be more than happy. You know, listen, Nkechi, it took me every ounce of my humanity as a human being, as a proud human being to say, it's fine. I'll look the other way. Because all I wanted to do beyond prove a point was that opportunity. And sometimes in life, even when somebody doesn't want you in a room, you know you need them more than they need you.
Yes.
Because you need to prove a point. And that's fine. It doesn't mean you are any less of a person. It doesn't mean you are nobody. It just means that you just want a toe, not even a foot, a toe in the door. And that's exactly what I did. And I made sure to be the most prepared I have ever been. I knew every single panelist's middle name and the name of their dog. I knew everything they had eaten in the morning and what they were about to eat the following night. I knew the topic through and through. And by God's amazing grace, I brought everything to the table. At the end of it, program director, thinking that he's just going to say, you know, I guess it was well done or whatever it is. Now, Nkechi, now that I'm here, I have to be honest. It was he and it was him that I was hoping to speak to at the end of the night. Ooh. Even though the room was swarming with presidents and prime ministers, doctors and whatever it is. And, you know, people, secretaries will come to me and say, wow, who are you? Congratulations. It was not them that I wanted to speak to. I want to speak to him. And when I did get the chance to hold his warm, greasy, wet hand, I said, not bad for an amateur.
Ooh, ooh.
Saved your ass. And I walked away. Nkechi, I was wearing a new pair of heels. My feet were aching.
But that walk.
But the walk.
Sorry, I'm not sure that's you right. Know,
my toe, the last toe, hooked. It was fresh meat. My knee. But the way I walked and the way I swayed my hips, I don't care what anybody said. In my African print, by the way, which was a tad tighter than usual so that the bang bang can be there. Sister, this is where the African elite comes out. But, you know, where you think the zip is going to open, but it won't because it's fastened. But listen, on a more serious note, I needed that moment.
Yeah.
I needed that moment, not just for Anita, but for everybody who feels rejection is the end of it.
Yeah.
And for everyone who rejection kind of submerges you right down deep and where you think there is absolutely no way. Listen, there's something called humble pride. Humble pride is that moment when you know that, listen, this person thinks they have something on me, but God, I just want an opportunity to prove them wrong. Mm-hmm. Because I know that beyond that opportunity of proving them wrong, they will never, ever speak to anyone like that anymore. They may have spoken like that to me. Yes, it's fine. I have broad shoulders. I have thick skin. I can deal with the bullies of this world. But it is people like this who crush the dreams of many people who have an opportunity, who are just searching for that opportunity to prove themselves.
Yes.
And it wasn't for Anita. It was for everybody who may look like or not even look like me. And to also say something about entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is a very lonely, lonely space where often we run small businesses that people don't respect because we seem smaller than the biggest. But we entrepreneurs, we are innovators. We are the real change makers. We are the ones that are changing the narrative. And so, yes, indeed, when I show up or when I apply and it says only Erskine Global Communications versus a big network, you assume that I do not have the gravitas. But I tell you what, I didn't become an entrepreneur because grace didn't allow me to work with the big networks. I became an entrepreneur because there is a story to be told. And sometimes that story is best told on your own terms. So anyway, this opportunity for me, I felt pained. I'm not going to lie. It's not, you know, it's not, oh yeah, you know what? I'm so bold. No, I felt pained that you should use such language on anybody. But I also felt relief that I got the opportunity to put him in his place, help him understand. Never underestimate someone who seems to want to be in the room, or never think that only you hold the key to someone.
Hey.
Because.
Oh, that's so profound. You know, there's a great, I'm going to say an assignment that I've applied on my life, that everything, absolutely everything, is better simply because it passed by me. And that really helps me level. Doesn't matter. It's about everyone's a human being first, and recognizing that everyone carries their own unique skills, talents, and qualities that deserve to be in a room, respected, valued, honored, looked at, you know. And I love that I feel like that story, unfortunately, God had to use you, or fortunately for us, use you to be able to share that story with others. Because I know I'm hosting a number of women tomorrow, and that's powerful because rejection is never a no.
No. And no human being.
Yeah.
Human beings can give me permission, but they can never hold the key to my destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. So you messed me up, man. I'm supposed to have you out here. Like, so let's quickly want this. So I'm going to quickly go to these rapid thrivers. When you think of someone who empowers you, who comes first to mind?
My mom. As my mom has the fire, the dream, the ambition of a young Anita grew up in a completely different era, but she holds me up. And every single time I get on a plane or I'm just about to get on a plane to go somewhere I have never been, she will always send me the same prayer and say, it is written in your destiny print. Ah, Anita, go for it. Yeah. And that alone helps me break through wherever I want to break through.
I love that. A daily activity that helps you with your thrive.
Prayer. First thing in the morning, 4:30, at the very least, 5:30 a.m., outside in my garden, prayer to God, to say, Father God, just that I'm awake and I can smell the fresh air and I can hear the birds chirp means you've given me another chance to
that. Yeah. I woke up this morning, I'm winning.
Amen.
That's a win. Book that's helped you with your thrive.
Oh my goodness, this one.
Oh,
I have read it 3 times.
Ooh. Do tell. Where is it? Get it. Ah! Oh, my gosh. Hold on. Where's mine? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I have mine. Hold on. One second.
Mel Robbins. Sister.
Hold on. I have it. I have it on audio. I have it. We're going to have to send this to Mel.
Mel Robbins, if you can see us.
We love you. This.
We love you.
This.
Thanks for failing forward.
Right. That book is everything. It's a whole ministry.
I've read it 3 times. Can you imagine?
I haven't gotten to, I have the, this one I use this book to highlight and all this, but I'm reading it. I have it on my digital. So for quick reference and cut and paste to other people. Yeah. It's amazing. You know, it's so interesting because it does say the let them theory, but what I recognize the most important part of that is what she says is the let me.
Let me. It's for me.
That's the more, like, I know it's let them, but do you know there's someone else that came up with that name, eh? It's a Black woman. Yeah.
You share.
Really? Yeah, I I'm hoping that Mel has kind of acknowledged them.
Please send that.
I will send it to you. I will. I found out when I was telling to somebody, and for their birthday, the woman gifted her with the actual women's, like the original Let Them.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll send it to you. I wish I have to remember the name. It's just escaping me, probably just because I'm rushing through this. But okay.
No worries.
What is an app on your phone that helps you with your thrive?
Gosh, I was going to say I have a tracker for my kids. No. oops.
That's funny.
I mean, is my calendar an app?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's an app.
It helps remind me because I can't remember everything.
And it must be so exciting.
It is.
I think you have an exciting calendar.
Look, the end of the year.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah,
I think that's great. And I think I actually really respect people that live by the calendar because I think that's
I have to.
If it's not on the calendar, it doesn't get done. I think that's important.
No. I have to.
What is one misconception that people have of you? They see you leading 700 global events and dressed in extraordinaire and nails done. And what's the misconception?
That I'm full of myself. Mm. Why did you say mm?
I hate to say it because I one of my biggest things is if I'm too much, go and get less. And I think there's many of us that are much that can.
Yeah. But I think for me, what has happened in the past, which I don't do anymore, is I've tried to explain that I'm personable, I'm affable, I'm a nice person. I don't do that anymore. I think if you are blessed to be in my presence and you feel the things that you feel in a good way that I'm bringing to you, I think that's enough. Mm-hmm. But it's a bit sad when people don't give you an opportunity because they heard from someone who said to someone that, oh, you know, forget her. She's so full of herself. But that full of myself really is the courage and the boldness and the preparation and the unapologeticness that is due me. Mm-hmm. I trained myself to be this person and it's due me. And it's a shame that it's translated differently. But do I really care about it all the time? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. And so where do we find more of you online?
Oh, where don't you? Well, I'm spending a lot of time on LinkedIn now because as an entrepreneur, working on a lot of projects with female African entrepreneurs, I find that being able to tell stories, mm-hmm. particularly stories of failure, encourages them to believe in themselves. Yeah. And I think that that concept of business, this life called business, you know, who are we in it? This space called, you know, where we try to thrive. How do we do it? How do we speak up as leaders, etc.? So I think a lot of me on LinkedIn now, very strategically, and because I want to connect with the business ecosystem yeah. on the continent and around the world that is ever evolving, is changing, and helping people, particularly females, women. African women entrepreneurs understand that you are completely enough. Your product, your service, your commodity, your experience is, it's time for it right now. So LinkedIn, it is for me right now.
Enough without any other edit. I love that. There's going to be clips from this podcast that is going to be on that LinkedIn that is going to empower the masses. Actually, I have a question for you.
Come.
As you start to think about future, like talking to these women on LinkedIn, and we think about the future and really trying to get women to push back some of the, I think just the continued dialogues that we have about, you know, being women trying to navigate some predominantly like male spaces. But thinking about the future, where do you think empowerment is going to look like? Like, what do you project?
I project empowerment is going to look like how women are able to practice their leadership voice in rooms where they have to be heard, and not just heard from a volume perspective, but heard and appreciated from a foundational understanding and owning their narrative, owning their journey, owning their product, owning their impact, owning their, you know, who they are. This is what it looks like. More and more women moving from the back of the room quietly and being at the front of the room loudly, stating their claims, stating their names, stating their you know, their essence, and teaching people how to listen to them. That's the thing, teaching people how to listen to them. And like I always say, the leadership voice isn't, it's not loud in volume, but it's loud in impact. You know what I mean? It's loud in its ability to demonstrate that I'm ready, I'm here now, I know why I'm here. And I'm not here to threaten you, I'm here to collaborate with you, I'm here to lead, and I may be here to uplift you, you know? And that's where I see more and more women entrepreneurs, Black or white or any other color or any other culture being. Own your voice. It's all you have. Before someone can ask you what's this product, you should have been able to use your voice to describe it and state its claim. You know what I mean? So that's I hope that answers the question.
No, that's big. No, that's good. I love that.
That's what I see.
Love that. Okay, so we'll find you on LinkedIn. I'll put I'll put links in the bio. I'll also share your website. And as a parting question, I'm going to say it this way. Finish the sentence. I'm empowered in my skin, or I feel empowered in my skin when?
When I'm honest with myself, when I'm feeling very low, when I'm feeling invisible, and I tell myself that I'm here for a reason, I'm here to do something big, and I should never doubt myself, that others can doubt me, but doubting myself is an absolute no-no.
We went around the world. We went around the world and we just landed the plane. And I feel so incredibly blessed for this experience. And God, I thank you. I thank you for the connection. I thank you for how you're moving through this woman. God, I just ask you that you continue to keep her on the rise, God, that you elevate the spaces, that you increase her territory, God, that you enlighten the platforms, that you shine a light bright on the purpose and that she brings into every room, God. And I just ask that you continue to guard her spirit, guard every gate, God, surround her with networks that will inspire and continue to propel her forward. And God, I thank you. I thank you for your creation. I thank you for this experience. I thank you for the connection. And I hold this really, really dear for life. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. This is an honor. This has been great. God must be smiling.
Yeah, God is God beep smiling. God's beaming. He's like, look at my pearlies.
When you were looking at that ticket to Morocco, and I was looking at my ticket to Morocco, God must have said, oh.
And by the way, I'm assuming I'm going to see a Jitex Global.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
And you know, the wardrobe is coming to you, right?
Oh, gosh, girl.
No, sister. You know, we're sending it to you. You're trying it on. We're fixing it before you show up on that stage. Yeah.
I love it. I'm actually working on a piece with Mimi right now. So yes, awesome. I love it. So to everyone that's listening, this is Sally, where I have to say, we're out. Bye-bye.
We're out. God bless you all.
Bye. Bye-bye. There you have it. I trust that you are feeling more empowered in your skin. As the late Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you get, you give. When you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at Empowered in My Skin, Inc. if you share this episode and tag us or teach an insight that you took from today's episode on your social and tag us. Feel free to leave us a review over at iTunes and follow us on social media at Empowered in My Skin. Finally, remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode.